Our last speaker this morning is a fellow named Guy Choate from San Angelo. It's a good thing that if you're a plaintiff's lawyer and you're on the TTLA listserv, it's a good thing that you get to hear Mr. Choate because you get to associate a face with the name that is always answering questions that are needed to be answered. Come on down, Guy. I'll just say a couple things right fast. You know, we all think that probably the most important part of a jury trial in a personal injury case is voir dire, and we all think that we have the key to picking a good jury, right? Well, I got to go to San Angelo with Broadus and Dick Miller to try a case where the theme of the case was that they had checked this young lady into a psychiatric hospital on a suicide watch and then watched her commit suicide. And so we met with Guy Choate on Sunday night before we were going to do the jury selection. And my dad grew up in Water Valley. My grandmother lived on West Beauregard. I would have thought I knew something about picking a jury in San Angelo, though I had never picked a jury in San Angelo. And Guy came over and sat down with us, and we had the jury list. And I'll never forget, we sat down and like the first person, let's call him Joe Smith on the list. You know, of course, I'd never heard of the guy. None of Broadus hadn't, Dick Miller hadn't. We asked Guy, what do you know about Mr. Smith? Does he have any bumper stickers or anything like that? And Guy said, no, he doesn't have any bumper stickers on his pickup. So we're going on, and the next guy goes, but now his wife's bumper stickers. I mean, you don't really know a jurisdiction. I certainly don't know my jurisdiction like Guy Choate knows his jurisdiction, though he's tried cases everywhere. If you're in San Angelo and he's on the other side, you got a problem.
Thank you,
Price. You bet.
Thank you, Price. You know, let me add, I appreciate that introduction. I've been practicing law for a long time, and one of the things I found being on the plaintiff's side of the docket, and I'd like kind of do a little poll here, does your client care more about how much money the other side paid or how much money they get to put in their pocket? Who thinks it's how much the other side paid? Well, you're all right. It's how much you put in your pocket. And that's a big part about subrogation. You know, Price used to work with a lawyer named Dickie Grigg here in Austin, who is something of a legend worldwide. And years ago, I was lucky enough to have a large verdict, and Mike Perrin walked up and said, hey, Guy, you know, congratulations on your verdict. And I said, well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. And Dickie took me aside, and he said, Guy, he said, you've got to learn. Said, that is not the proper answer when someone tells you that. I said, well, gosh, Dickie, what's the proper answer? And he said, which one? And so you're always worrying about which is your big verdict that you got. The first thing I'd like to talk about today is in your materials that you've got, you have a paper written by Judy Costura, who's sitting over here, and this is daunting, to say the least, having Judy be here to watch me present her paper, because it will not be done as well as Judy could do it, believe me, but it'll be done a little differently, but certainly not as well. If you do this for a living, particularly if you're a plaintiff, but also if you're a defense lawyer, because you need to understand a lot of the hydraulic pressures that are running cases a lot of times, you need to have that on your computer desktop. If you like reading things in a hard copy, have it printed and put in a little notebook, and it needs to sit on your actual desktop. It is a critical, critical document to the practice of law or what we do. It's so very important. That number one. Number two, when do you start talking to your client about subrogation or reimbursement or the fact that they have a partner in this case? I'll tell you the answer to that question. Before you get hired, that's when you put it in. It's before you get hired is when it's important, because they have a partner in the case, and suddenly you find out, well, they've offered me their policy limits, which are $30,000, but we've got a $19,000 bill that we've got to get paid here, and so I'm going to get my 10, and I've got 500 in expenses, so I guess you're going to get about $500. They're not going for that. They're not going to go for that. They're not going to sign the papers. Why should they?